This is a disclaimer for you, the listener. This podcast comes with darkness, gruesome, bizarre, and downright weird stories. You've been warned.
Welcome to Under the Stairs.
Hey, hello.
A podcast that is brimming with gruesome true crime events.
Oh my god.
Paranormal encounters and more weird, wonderful, and bizarre things that the world will bring. Welcome back, my friends. It's been so long since I last did you guys an episode, so we are here and we are back. Life has been busy but amazing, so I hope you are all doing well and everybody is smiling and everybody is ready for the big man to arrive in the next few weeks. Yes, Christmas is around the corner, so I hope everybody has a brilliant time over the next couple of weeks. Enjoy it, enjoy the moments, but right now I have some amazing paranormal creepy horror stories to go through with you guys. Now, let's not waste any more time chatting shit. Let's just get straight in to today's episode. I hope you're ready, because I certainly am. Let's go. Till a few years ago, I had a flip phone. One day, I got a random number calling me and asking me for a girl named Sarah. I told them they had the wrong number and they hung up. For a few months, I would get these calls asking for a girl named Sarah once or twice a week, coming from different numbers and different sounding people. Sometimes these calls came through at 3 o'clock in the morning. One day, I got a call, and like usual, I said I didn't know Sarah, and they hung up. I went into my contacts and hit redial. The answering machine said that the number did not exist. I went back through my call history, trying to call some other people that had called me, but I always had the same result, a machine telling me the number did not exist. Every time I would get these calls, I would redial the number, and I got the same machine. I googled the numbers, but all I learned that they were coming from North Dakota and Montana, basically everywhere in the Midwest. The next time I got a call asking for Sarah, I thought I'd trick them. So I said, oh yes, she's right here. And the other person on the other end said, no, she isn't. And they hung up straight away. Things started to get weird when I started getting calls from unknown numbers. Whoever or whatever on the other end always hung up the second I said hello. Once I got a call where they didn't hang up after I said hello, and I could hear someone on the other end breathing down the phone. I just listened, but they didn't say anything. There's something really uneasy about the whole situation. But now, since my new phone's arrived, I don't get these calls anymore. Back in 2005, I was in a band that toured the country in a 15-passenger van with a trailer. We were on the way from Columbus to Pennsylvania. The show had been cancelled in Columbus due to a power outage, so we decided to get on the road early, as we have friends in Pennsylvania who were taking us for a night out. I'll never forget this moment for the rest of my life. We were all having a conversation. There were 8 of us in total in the van, when the driver and passenger both shouted simultaneously, "What is that?" I'm getting goosebumps on my arms right now, just remembering this event. I was sitting behind the driver, with my back against the window, and I didn't see anything. But we heard like a whooshing noise, as if something flew over the van. My friend was sitting next to me, looking like he had just seen a ghost. We wound up pulling over on the side of the road because everyone was freaking out, thinking we hit something. Nothing was found. Both passenger and driver said they saw a tall black figure lunge at the van from the shoulder of the left lane. My friend who was sitting next to me said the same thing. The next day, we inspected the van in the daylight and noticed there were streak marks across the roof of the van, almost like claws that scraped across the top of the roof. To this day, we still don't know what this was, but I will never, ever forget this. When I was 14, I was staying up way too late on the computer. It was about 2 in the morning, and everyone else was asleep. I got thirsty and wandered down the hallway to get a drink. I didn't bother to turn on lights, since there was a nightlight in the hallway, and there was enough light to get me by. I'm walking back to my bedroom when I get this weird feeling like someone is watching me, and I turn around. There is this big white mist just floating right behind me. I immediately turn around and head straight back into the safe light of my bedroom. The thing is, there was no facing windows in that hallway, and I hadn't passed the night light yet, so it definitely wasn't a trick of light. All the doors leading down the hallway were all closed. A few years later, when I was moving to the small room closest to that spot, I got the heebie-jeebies and couldn't sleep without a lamp on. It wasn't until sometime after that sighting that I learned in the 80s, a guy was renting out the house. He was arrested for the kidnap, rape, and disappearance of a bunch of kids from the area, and for the suspected murder of his wife. They never found her, and she supposedly ran away, according to him. Police dogs went over to the farm, but they never found anything. Cops must not have done a good job though, because when we were moving in, my mum found a pair of boys' underwear in a toilet tank. The missing wife was never found, and he died in prison a about a decade ago. But I think she is still in the house though. I was 16 and it was Christmas Eve and it was snowing heavily. My parents and myself were sitting in the living room with the Christmas lights on, having eggnog and opening up my Christmas stocking. It was our tradition. We suddenly heard the door knocker banging loudly 3 times. We seen no one out of the window. My dad opened up the door and looked down. There was a calf lying in the snow. But there was no human footprints. There was no tire tracks. Logistically, there was nowhere or no way that we would have not seen anyone put the cat there. It was still alive. So, as family, we are huge animal lovers and took the cat in. It was a young male. A few days later, we took it to the vet and he recovered nicely. The weird thing is, aside from the knocking and no footprints in the snow, was my mum gave it to a friend of ours that lived just down the street. About 4 or 5 months later, the cat, now happily a part of the family, woke them all by howling and screaming, just freaking out. Turns out an electrical fire had started in the garage and one of the cars was also on fire. They all woke up, everybody was okay, and luckily the car did not blow up, although the garage was damaged. But they were very lucky, especially because there were all kinds of flammable stuff in there. Initially, they called him something stupid like Shadow, but then we named him Clark after Superman. He's a really nice cat and lived till he's pretty old. What do you think? How he came a part of the family was very strange. But what he did to save the family is just beyond amazing. Merry Christmas, everybody. It was 2006. And I was 23 years old, visiting my dad in Florida. One morning, while my dad was away at work, I decided to take a shower to get my day started. While my dad lived alone in the house, so there was no other person there while I was showering, all exterior doors were locked. And while I was in the middle of a shower, I heard 3 knocks. 3 loud knocks on the door. Thinking it was my dad, who maybe had stopped for a quick break, I yelled out, "Hey Dad, I'll be out in a minute." Finished my shower and exited the bathroom and I walked into the room where I was staying. All while I was talking to my dad, I thought he was still in the house for a break from work. So, I got dressed and started to look for my dad, because during this time, there was no response from him. I looked through the house and did not find him. I figured he made a quick stop and left during the time I was getting out of the shower. I didn't think much about this until he got home. And I brought it up. I asked him, "What did you end up stopping for today? You stopped by the house, right?" He looked at me, puzzled. He thought I was bullshitting him. I thought he was joking with me at the time as well, by playing dumb. We finally agreed that we both were telling the truth, and that he did not come home during the day, and there was three clear knocks while I was alone. So my dad then went through the house to check on money, valuables, just to make sure nothing was stolen. Everything was in place and nothing was missing. My dad and I had a real strong and honest relationship. No dishonest or anything like that. A few years later, I ended up moving in to the same house with my dad. And I never experienced anything like that there again. It's a story that'll still live in my head, rent-free. In the 90s, my dad bought an old house and had a barn attached to it. A lot of houses in Germany those days, especially in the smaller villages, had attachment barns. The first few years were totally fine. In 2003, my dad started to remodel and rebuild the house. That's when it started. First, it was just little weird things, such as banging, things falling over, water being turned on, toilets flushing. We just shrugged it off, saying it's an old house. I never felt comfortable there though. I always heard something right above my room in the attic. Sometimes it sounded like a furniture being moved. But there were only two or three old chairs and a really heavy old oak closet. It was huge. Dad told us it was probably just squirrels. Pretty big squirrels, if you ask me. Well, time went by, and I met my now husband on MySpace, and we Skyped every night. Due to the time difference, which is 6 hours, one morning, my now husband said, "Oh, they're up early." I said, "Who?" He said, "Someone just walked through the hallway." My heart was about to explode. No one was up at 3 a.m. As I turned to the hallway, the whole fixture of the living room curtain, which was mounted on the wall, just fell off. I got so scared. He knew I always told him about it. He said, "Just go and check if anyone is asleep." As soon as I went upstairs, I checked. Everybody was asleep. From there, it kept on getting worse and worse. In the morning, all the kitchen cabinets and drawers were open. The basement door was open. And that door was always locked. Because it had an old well down there. At this point, everybody was feeling uneasy. It even happened when we had visitors over. Lights flickering, doors slamming shut. One of my mum's friend is very spiritual. And her best friend is a Native American. And she said she talked to her about it. And she'd be more than happy to come over to do a cleansing. My mum absolutely agreed to this, but I called the Catholic priest. He called back and said it wasn't the first time he had called to this address, and he won't come back. He was honestly pretty upset that the Sellers didn't mention why they never kept their tenants for long. He apologised and says there was nothing he could do. My mum asked them if he knows anything what happened or what it is. He said all he knows that around the 1900s, a farmer, his wife owned the house and land. The wife always wanted children, but was never able to get pregnant. They were both lovely people. One day her husband left the house to go to the market. A little while later, the wife heard noises with lots of screaming, someone banging on the door. Her husband sadly was ran over and died. Ever since that, she became bitter, especially unfriendly to kids, and didn't want anyone. Sadly, she died in there. She died lonely and bitter. After that, for a while, not one thing happened. Everything was quiet, almost back to normal, until my sister-in-law announced she was pregnant. And it all started all over again, but much more aggressive. Windows were opening, dishes were flying through the cabinets. Stuff was thrown down the stairs. Closer it got to the birth, crazier it got. It got so bad that both my sisters slept with me in my room. One night, I heard my brother scream. We ran in the apartment he was staying. He said there was a shadow figure that came down from the stairs from the attic. Stairs to the attic were in his bedroom and right under the baby crib, and it fell over. From that night on, we all slept together in the living room. Next day, my mum called my friend. At this point, we were all scared so badly. Even my dad, who's the biggest skeptic ever. The next day, this beautiful lady came over with my mum's friend. She just looked at us and says, "It's feeding off all of you. It's feeding off all your fears." She asked if we wanted to go inside with her or wait outside. Before we went in, she cleansed us and blessed us in her beautiful native language and gave us some sort of being to hold, and we put it in our pocket for protection. I wish I could remember the name of the being. She walked around and said, "Wow, it is strong and it does not like me." We went from room to room. She had a tray with several different items on it. Sage and something that was already burning. A feather looking thing. I don't really remember. As we approached my brother's studio apartment, she kept getting louder and louder. I did not understand her native language, but in the middle she would tell us, "It's trying to hide, and it feels concerned." The next stop was the attic. One by one, we started to go up. All of a sudden, the door swung wide open. and a 2x4 board came full speed flying right towards us. It almost hit my brother right in the head. And then a loud bang. The house shook. My siblings went out with my dad and brother. Once we were up there, we've seen the big oak cabinet was pushed over. And the 2x4 was ripped out of the wooden structure from our roof. The lady got hectic. Said it's not here anymore. It must be downstairs. The only room we hadn't been in was the laundry room. She went in there alone and she was loud. Everything felt loud. After what felt like an eternity, she came out and she said it put up a fight. She had ashes all over her and she looked so drained. She said it kept blowing the ashes on her, trying to scare her. I'll never forget that day. This kind lady didn't want anything for her work. She came back a few days later to tell us that the lady who owned the house was trying to protect us. Especially the lady in the house who had the unborn child. I moved to Tennessee a few years later. My siblings went to college across Germany, so my parents sold the house. Peacefully as it can be. And that is it for this episode. I thank you for listening. And I'm going to dedicate a lot more time in the new year bringing you more creepy, disturbing, and scary encounters. Now, have a great Christmas, and I'll see you again under the stairs very, very soon.